I think about that woman up in the north that we were up there that time. And that night we first got to the church, they brought the woman in on a pallet. And they laid her back there in the back. And Cheryl and her compassion heart run up back there and talked to her and found out she had unforgiveness towards somebody. And so she got her to confess her sin and her unforgiveness and everything. And then she comes, gets me, honey, before you got to pray for this woman. Okay. So I go back there and I pray for this woman. Now then, nothing happens. Now who's the healer? God, ain't me. All I can do is pray. So what, Cheryl, all she could do was get her to confess her sin. And she found unforgiveness, so she thought that was it. So she confessed her sin, and I prayed for her, and nothing happened. Well, somebody said, well, see, it's not God's will to heal her. No, it's God's will. But she wasn't through with sin yet, see. We hadn't covered them all. Now, the next 3 days, they brought her every day. Every day this woman came to church, somebody brought her in on her little mat. They carried her in. She couldn't walk. Hadn't walked in years. They come and set her down there, and maybe they'd help her up and get her and put her in one of the big old chairs that they had there. And she had listened. Well, I told them the last day on Saturday afternoon, I said, now, if you've been prayed for already once, don't come down here, because just stand and act on the faith that you have. Don't come down here for me to pray for you again, because two reasons. You're showing unbelief if you come a second time, and I have an airplane to catch this afternoon, and I need to be on it. You know, I wasn't flying my own up there. I had to catch a commercial airliner. And so I said, don't come. Well, they brought this woman down, and I said, ma'am, I already prayed for you. She said, but in the last two sermons, I have heard my other sins. I didn't confess my other sins. I said, what were they? She said, number one, your wife got me to confess my unforgiveness. I had unforgiveness towards several people. I did confess that the first day. But she said, I never in my life, never heard anybody say that God hates grumbling and complaining. And said, you said that God hates grumbling and complaining because it's in the Word. And she said, I have grumbled and complained all my life. And so now that I have repented and asked God to forgive me. And she said, and the second thing, I've never heard any preacher in any church I've ever been to say, wives, you have to obey your husbands or it's going to make you sick. And she said, I have done whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. And she said, only when I feel like it do I obey my husband. But most of the time, I run the show. And she said, I have repented and asked God to forgive me of that. So she said, I had a lot of sins that I didn't know I have. Well, that's what's wrong with us. We have a lot of sin we don't know we have. So I said, okay, we'll pray for you again. So I go over there and lay hands on her again, rebuke the enemy, break the curse, and tell her, I said, now then you healed? Yes, I'm healed. Cheryl said, let's get her up. Let's do something. Let's act on our faith. Now, was she going to make that faith real? I mean, you know, this girl, she's a tiger, you know. She wants to see this woman walk. Well, she gets down and drags her up, and I help her drag this woman up, and that woman's legs are like rubber when we're standing. She can't stand up. And I said, well, come on, woman, walk. And, of course, she's trying to walk, and she can't. And I tilted her body like this. I said, okay, that's a step. Tilt it again like that. I said, come on, woman, keep walking. You got to do something. And we get about far here to the back of the church, and that woman's walking like this by herself. I said, y'all got it. I said, I got to go pray some other people. And one of the little guys followed me. He said, Pastor, I'll help your wife take her on up the stairs. So I come back, and I'm up here praying for people. And all of a sudden, I hear this screaming, and I look up, what happened? And the whole row of people that's going up through there, three or four wide, plumb to the back of the church, had their hands raised looking over there, and Cheryl and that woman's running up the stairs, and that woman's in front of her, and she went out the back door and run in the parking lot and run all over the place. The woman was completely healed. Now then, we went back up there a few months later. I told him, I said, when I saw the pastor, I said, tell me about the woman that got healed. He said, Thurman, you don't want to hear. I said, what do you mean, well, I don't want to hear? He said, she was completely healed for about 2 months. He said, her husband is a non-believer. He would not let her come back to church. She come home walking, and he would not let her come back to church. He said he didn't believe in this Jesus stuff. And he said, within 2 months from his negative confession, that woman today is worse than she was. Now, she walked, hadn't walked a step in 7 years. Walked and run and played, and her husband stole her faith. And she's back in a wheelchair and back in that bed. And that woman, she'll die there because she didn't continue to stay in church. She was married to an unbeliever. Technically speaking, she's supposed to obey her husband, yes. I mean, he wouldn't let her come to church, so she couldn't come to church. I mean, the scriptures tells the wife, if you, in other words, if you make a mistake and get a hold of an unbeliever, that's why he told you don't be unequally yoked. That's right. So you're still supposed to obey him. The scriptures clearly says, wives, submit to your own husbands in everything. Now, even go so far to say, if you happen to be married to an unbeliever, don't divorce them. Unless they're a mean, wicked guy that's committing adultery on you or beating you. Yeah, if they're beating and being harmful, then you don't have to live in that. You are free to leave if you're a believer and he's an unbeliever. But he didn't physically beat her. He just wouldn't let her come to church. And so there's no scripture that covers that. And so she stayed at home and she would not go. And within 2 months' time, that woman's back in the bed worse than she was before. Now then, God requires faith, doesn't he? And he requires obedience. You know, and so, wow, it's so devastating what happens here. But it says that to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath shall come upon you. Now, I don't want indignation and wrath to come upon me, do you? Now, it don't have to come upon you either, but all you got to do is obey God. Now, let's go from Romans 2:8. Let's go to Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9. And let's see what he says here in Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, are you justified by the blood of Jesus? Me too. Praise God. So, as a son of God walking in obedience to his word, are we going to be delivered from the wrath? Yeah, that's what he said. We're going to be saved from the wrath through Jesus. I mean, if we're going to be saved from the wrath of God on the great day of wrath, does that mean that we have to go through it? No. Somehow, some way, he's going to take us out of it. Now, I don't know if he's going to find a place and lock us up. I don't know if he's going to take us to heaven. But he says we'll be saved from that wrath, right? So I'm going to believe him. I'm going to be saved from that wrath. Then chapter 12, verse 19. 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now then, girls, if you're married to a man that's not a good Christian man, or even is a Christian, but he's not obeying God, don't read him the riot act. Don't fuss at him. Don't punch him out. Just anytime he does something to you that is not glorifying to God, just back off and say, Lord, I turn him over to you. He's yours. You take care of my light work. You know, God, he knows how to do that. You know that? That's just like my wife has said this many times. You know, when God brought me and her together, you know, she had not been married for many years, and she hadn't had to submit to him, never. She says she didn't submit even to a man when she was married the first time, you know, so she didn't know what submission was. But by the time she married me, she had learned a little about submission because she'd heard me preach on it. She had read the word, but she still tried to pray for herself and do some things that she wasn't supposed to do. And so there were some times that I did things that she didn't agree with, and she at first, of course, would jump on my case and try to get me to do things, but she found out she couldn't change me. There was no way. She was fighting against the wind trying to change me. That's just like you. I mean, if you're trying to change your husband, I've seen lots of women say, oh, he won't go to church with me now, but I know when I marry him, he'll love me so much he'll go with me then. Pat, is that right? No, it don't work like that, does it? No, it won't never work like that. If he won't do it for you before you marry him, you can forget it after you marry him. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So how can you change him? You do exactly what Cheryl does. Yes, you go to the throne of grace and jump up in daddy's lap. Now, you want to make sure you're an obedient daughter when you go up there, right? Cheryl said she also learned this. It didn't work when I went up and fussed at God about you. It didn't work. He didn't like that. But when I said, now, Lord, your son that you gave me is not being a good boy in an area or two here, and I need you to soften his heart and make him more like Jesus. Now then, she'd always say, now, Lord, if I need to change something, change me. Now, see, that's what he always did. He changed her. See? I had to say that. You know, that was too good to let go by. She says, that's too. What happened when I get to... Oh, only twice. Oh, oh, that's what she said. Only two times out of all those prayers did God change her. Oh, okay, praise the Lord. But see, who knows our heart? God does. And when we pray, what can He do? He can do anything. Now, to prove that God can move on the heart of a man, I want to take you, this is not in my outline, but I want to take you to Proverbs 26:1 from right here in Romans 12:19. I want to go to Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, and He turneth it wheresoever He will. Now, what does that do with your free will? If God has a plan for you and He has something for you to do, is He going to make it happen? Mm-hmm. Yes, He is. I mean, just like He said right there, He said, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. If the heart, if your heart, my heart, is in the hands of the king and He wants me to do something for Him, what can He do with me? He can just make me do whatever He wants me to do, can't He? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, okay, Proverbs 21:1. Okay. I'll have to remember that. I thought that's where I was a while ago. Okay, let's go back to Romans 13:1-11. Romans 13:1-11. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, see, when I read that, I happen to think, Lord, this bunch in Washington is there because You put them there. Did He?
Yeah.
Wonder why He put them there. He gave this nation what we need. Because see, everybody in this nation is not like the few of you that are in this room today. You know, you people in this room, you all love Jesus, or at least most of you do. I would like to believe that all of you love Jesus with all your heart, and you want to be an obedient son or daughter to God. And if you're not, that's where you need to be. That's what would please the King. But the whole United States is not here. They're not anywhere close to where we are. They don't walk with God. I mean, they have no problem. You know, when we talk about, we need to bring our boys home. We've lost 6,000 troops in Afghanistan in the last 10 years over there.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Wrath of God is Coming, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.